This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
PM team, happy Monday to you. No Andrew Filippone today. I am very sympathetic to Pony's plight. He has been hit with the scourge, or not he directly, but little Stella feeling under the weather. As any parent out there knows, that sucks. You'd rather yourself get sick than the kids, so we assume Pony will be back tomorrow, ready to roll. That's all right, though. Donnie Football on the front end of an Ernie Banks is with you on the other side. He will be doing... I'm trying to think of a word that I'm going to use today. He will be doing...
One of those fancy words out there.
Penultimate hour from 8 to 9 tonight. I don't know.
I know what that is. That's second to last.
Okay, so that one's not frou-frou enough for you. We'll figure something out by the end of the show. Or just give me to the end of this segment, and I'll probably say something that qualifies as
That's
such.
A near guarantee.
Yeah, that's I was going to say. What am I doing here? Just let myself talk for 10 minutes or so, and we'll get somewhere. Mike Florio has fired off a couple of different articles on Pro Football Talk, friend of the show. He's on every Wednesday at 3:30. And he's just kind of put it out there right off the jump here and said it's a pretty, quote, safe bet that Aaron Rodgers is going to end up a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers after Rodgers and the team had a lengthy meeting at the team facilities this weekend. Pony was, as you would imagine, on Twitter foaming at the mouth at the prospects of this, sending out the eyeballs, things of that nature. And Florio, who has been there, done that, has the T-shirt when it comes to a lot of these kinds of rumors and storylines. Mike says, safe bet on Aaron Rodgers. The if seems to be not up for debate, according to Mike. It's the when that remains a mystery. The if, he is saying, slowly becoming more clear. All we know is that Rodgers spent more than 6 hours with the Steelers and that he left without a deal. Used to be when the Steelers would bring in some like mid-tier free agent, Donnie, I don't know if you've ever heard this kernel of wisdom or chestnut, but if the guy left without a deal, that was a bad sign. They always wanted these guys to come in, I'm sure be wowed by the spectacular facilities on the south side and sign themselves a deal right then and there. Don't let them out of the building once you let them into the building kind of deal. Rodgers, of course, is going to operate completely on his own schedule. We know that much. And not going to do anything that he doesn't want to do. Donnie, I think this is going to happen, by the way. I am saying this as somebody now who feels almost worn down by the prospect of it. The endless, I think we had the Bold and the Beautiful on in here earlier because nobody ever changed the TVs over from the NCAA tournament last week. So we were watching the Bold and the Beautiful. There are two people crying and possibly kissing. That sounds about par for the course there. As the Aiyuk Turns was the first version of this. The sequel, The Godfather 2 here, As the Rodgers Turns. And I think, like sands through the hourglass, my sanity and resistance is just slipping away. And so I think it's going to happen. I do. What I refuse to do, though, with this, Donnie, is be excited about it. Because to Florio's credit, he knows a big-time story when he sees one, and Steelers and Aaron Rodgers being paired together qualifies as such. The companion piece to yesterday evening's safe bet story, this morning, 10 o'clock, Steelers fans should embrace Aaron Rodgers. So Mike is all over. He's covering this real estate very comprehensively. I refuse to get excited about it if it happens. I'm going to tell you what this reminds me of just right off the jump. I wonder if people out there feel the same way because this sort of hit me like a ton of bricks this morning when I just was kind of coming to grips with the fact that they were going to likely sign a quarterback that I didn't really want them to sign, that I felt like wasn't worth the trouble. And so far, it still seems like they're going to sign. The Giants are getting mentioned here, but not very seriously. I thought of MySpace, and I thought of AOL Instant Messenger, and somewhere in the back, our creative ace, Ben Tenuta's going, MySpace, what's that? Sounds tough. Oh, MySpace in the mid-2000s was a problem. You know, people our Gen Z people have no idea what I'm speaking of. It feels like a Steelers-Rodgers marriage is a merger of two legacy brands or brands that were once a big effing deal and have currently, independent of one another, fallen on hard times. Not those kind of hard times, Donnie. We don't have any time for dusty roads today. It's all about the natural disasters anyway, if we talk WWE. Future WWE Hall of Famers, the natural disasters. It feels like two legacy brands. I'll say MySpace, and how about this one? AOL Instant Messenger. Merging while they're in their death throes, hoping that being hooked up with the other one will give them a little jolt. A little bit of rejuvenation. That's what it feels like to me. Aaron Rodgers of 3 years ago, Aaron Rodgers of 4 years ago, as I have said many times, never hits the open market, is never really in a situation where he's being actively pursued by at most two teams. If even 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers is out there, 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers is out there playing the way we know 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers played, if he's ever on the open market, which wouldn't happen to begin with, there's a feeding frenzy for his services. There is a line of teams out the door saying, wait a minute, you're the guy that can make us what we think we can be at our highest end. You are a Super Bowl contender maker. Your mere presence, your mere existence is enough for our team to feel like we are now on the short list. That's Rodgers at his peak, one of the absolute best. No matter how many playoff failings or flameouts there had been, you knew what the guy looked like when he was on his A game, and there were pretty much no other players in the sport, save maybe Patrick Mahomes, who looked as good at their peak. In this era, at least. Now, though, so you'd have a feeding frenzy, but now he is a diminished version of himself, and I don't think anybody argues that. What they argue is the matter of degree that he has diminished. The arm still can whip one out there. The arm talent, a quickly overused phrase, I think, or is fast becoming an overused phrase. The talent in the arm is still present. He can still make just about every throw. But all the other stuff that made him special, getting out, moving around, being a sneaky good runner, throwing off platform, throwing on the move, doing all those things that defensive coordinators want to tell you make them stay up late at night and break out into cold sweats because they can't really account for them. He doesn't do those things anymore. He is closer as in terms of what he wants to do as a player to Joe Flacco than he is even like Kenny Pickett. He's not a get-out-and-move guy anymore. He's a, I've got a flick of the wrist, great arm. I generally want to stand here. I don't want to hold the ball too long. And I want to get it out on time. Really, he also kind of cuts the profile of late career Roethlisberger. I don't want to take too many shots downfield. I don't really feel like getting hit after 20 years of getting hit. I want to get the ball out on time. I want my receivers to be on the same page. And that's how we're going to try to do this thing. We'll take an occasional shot when one presents itself. My arm still has some zip left in it. Rodgers, by the way, much better arm than Ben had at the very end of his career because Rodgers' arm didn't snap in half in his late 30s. But they're basically the same guy. So he is a diminished brand that the Steelers are closing in on signing. There's a reason that I think that the excitement is muted and that I refuse to get excited because I think enough people now, even if they like watching Rodgers on Pat McAfee or whatever, I think enough people now watched him with the Jets to know that this ain't the same guy you would have been getting a half decade ago. And then there's the Steelers, Big Don. You want to talk about a diminished brand? They've been doing a better job of hiding it than Rodgers. Or than Rodgers' publicists or like the people in the media who talk about his game. To hear some people tell you, I mean, we had Steve Palazzolo and said Rodgers' still a top 10 to 12 guy. I think he's got more people, or they've got more people fooled than even he does about where they stand in the NFL. What has this brand done lately? The Steelers act like they're Coca-Cola. They're RC. They're Diet Dr. Thunder Don. You know what RC stands for, by the way?
I don't know.
Royal Crown, brother.
I should have actually.
Nothing royal about it.
It rings a bell, yeah.
Nothing royal about it. But I mean, the Steelers are the same thing. It's two diminished brands. It's a team that says, we're all about Super Bowls. We have a very specific standard we adhere to. And many times it's come out in recent statements by people who cover the team for a living that really their goal right now is get a guy in here who can help them win a playoff game and then go from there. There were years, you grew up in it, Donnie. I grew up in it. Most of you listening probably grew up in it. You didn't think, oh, I hope they can win a playoff game this year. You went into the season with that as like a base level expectation that when the field shrinks to eight total, four in each conference, they're probably going to be lingering around there at the end. For pretty much the entirety of the Roethlisberger era, for the majority of the Cowher era, save a handful of bad years where he had to do some soul searching and had to beat out Tom Donahoe in a power struggle, that was the standard for 30 plus years. They're not that anymore. They're archaic. Donnie, you know that word too, so you can't do archaic hour at 9 o'clock either. I know you know that word. They are an anachronism. They're a team that just does things a way that most don't do them anymore. And they're trying to do things in a way that doesn't work unless you have that which they do not, which is a great quarterback a la Lamar Jackson. They want to pound the rock. They want to be physical. They don't have the horses to do it.
And they usually rest on their laurels of we're the Pittsburgh Steelers, so don't worry, like our
and
way.
And in the national
work.
Media, I think that still gets popped out there too. Hey, they're 10-7. Hey, they're always around. I think in Rodgers' case, it's hey, he's still got the arm. But I think I want to throw it over to you. I think it's just two legacy brands who seem now likelier to get together than they ever have after this meeting, even though it'll be on his timeline, so it could take months. They seem like two legacy brands that are trying desperately to avoid falling into the trash can together. That's how I look at it. I don't know how you do.
Yeah, I mean, and the case that you just made that maybe Rodgers still has a little bit more left than what the Steelers' strength is from a brand standpoint is pretty fair, because what have the Steelers really done for you in the last 15 years? I mean, they haven't won a playoff game in nearly 10 years. Rodgers has at least been individually a very accomplished player in that time span. It was up until he went to the Jets that things started to fall flat for him. He had a longer prime than about 99% of players. I mean, the guy won the MVP at nearly 40 years old.
Oh, he was closer to Brady's track as far as individual greatness than anybody. But I think you just said something good. He didn't turn down as a player until he went to the Jets. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. I got hockey talk lined up in 15 minutes, Big Don. Oh, did I have an eventful weekend, and was it not an eventful weekend for one Penguin, too? Actually, a couple of Penguins. But we do have hockey talk coming up in a little bit. Our guy, Nate, I got to shout him out. I started out the show by saying, this just feels like Steelers and Rodgers, Mike Florio saying it's more of an if. It's not more of an if question at this point, it's a when question, that even though the sides left that six-hour meeting without a deal, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen, that essentially the terms have been in place for a while and this was a get-to-know-you session, which what is that like with Rodgers? Hello, Coach Tomlin, I'd like you to try ayahuasca. Can you imagine Mike just trying that? I would love to hear like a Mike Tomlin press conference, his usual manner of speaking, affected by ayahuasca. I think that could go off the rails very quickly. Our buddy Nate, though, as I described it as a merger between two hypothetical once giants of the field, brand names, blue chippers that have fallen on very hard times, our guy Nate just sends a gorgeous picture on an overcast day of a Long John Silver's A&W hybrid fast food joint. God, if that is not exactly what I am saying, to an absolute T. I don't know what is, Don.
That's a phenomenal one. A phenomenal
the
pull.
The fact that the sky is just so gray, the whole thing
and
is
and the mall
just,
in the background looks like it's out of business.
There's not a single storefront that has like signage up. There's a white panel van with no windows. Like, I don't know, man. I might shut it down right here. We got 3 hours and 30 minutes left to do, but that might be pretty much just the show. I just keep sending people back to that picture. That's what it reminds me of. Friend of the show, Sean Gentile, friend of mine, says, or it could be AOL and Yahoo, a merger that actually happened. Yeah, it didn't go well either. I feel like sometimes at 30,000 feet, you've seen the Steelers not have a losing season since Tomlin's been there. You've seen Rodgers as recently as a couple of years ago, as last year in Green Bay, flash still big time form. You've seen Rodgers even with the Jets, when I think most people were able to admit, yes, this did not go the way anyone planned, still have a game here or there where you're like, well, you could get that out of them 17 times, you'd be a contender. I just think people are trying to talk themselves into this actually being plausible, when if you really are on ground level with either side of this, you know that it's probably not. An immobile quarterback at this point behind a suspect offensive line who wants to implement, by the way, his own offense, pairing with a coordinator on that side of the ball who just, we found out, did not really get along that well with the outgoing former starting quarterback, partly because he didn't want him to audible, according to some reports, even though some of that happened during that quarterback's best game. Like, none of this actually feels like it's going to work. And the reason I said before the break that I think most people on the outside think it will is what Donnie alluded to. He's no longer playing for the Jets, a franchise essentially run by a teenager named Brick. You can't make it up because it's real. I would submit that the Steelers essentially being run by Mike Tomlin at this point, because that's the way head coaches are empowered here, are not the picture of stability, harmony, and everybody's always getting along and pulling the rope in the same direction that you would hear from outsiders. Like, I think you'd need a Kyle Brandt type guy from the national media to come in and give this whole situation a reality check. Because it's not what I think it's cracked up to be. So I do not think that just because the coach here still gets tons of plaudits necessarily means that you would reap the benefits of this and he would have Rodgers on his best behavior. To the phones we go, 412-928-9370. I refuse to get excited about this. If it's going to happen, and Mike Florio seems to think it's a when, not if proposition, Rodgers to the Steelers, how do you feel about it? Ken in South Park. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Ken.
I think Pittsburgh sports have become pretty pathetic. You guys, every day what needs to be done, and I wish somehow the fans maybe 3 or 4 years could become involved with who goes and who stays.
So just have it like you get voted off the island like a reality show?
Why not? Today's day and age.
How many times people would be voting Mike Tomlin off the island after he was already gone? They'd just keep voting for him. I can tell you what, all three managers, I think, or head coaches in town would be gone, Donnie, and Ken's very bizarre Hunger Games-style hypothetical. How many general managers are keeping their jobs? Maybe the con artist, because he's still pretty new at it?
I mean, Dubas is pretty new.
He's keeping his job, I think.
Charrington's definitely out.
Yeah, bye, goodbye. If you could vote owners out, my God, they'd be flying in and out of your left and right. They'd be getting ejected.
They'd all be sitting at like 99% out. The 1% would be like themselves voting for them to stay.
I don't think any ownership group, yeah, right now. I mean, FSG, no one would know who to actually throw out. It'd be like a guy with a question mark over his face. Let's go to Rod right now on 93.7 The Fan. Hello, Rod.
How you doing? I hate this idea of Rodgers coming. And I think with this marriage that they're joining, maybe Mike Tomlin needs to go to that dark room when Rodgers and him, when the rubber falls off the tires, when the true Rodgers falls out, because you know how his attitude changes in the middle of the season. He ain't going to listen to the coaches, and he's surely not going to listen to Mike Tomlin. So maybe when they both get fired, they could go to that dark room together. That's my opinion on the whole thing.
Rod, I don't think you're wrong in the sense that, like, when you bring up that Rodgers is not somebody whose previous statements can be trusted against what we know Rodgers' whims occasionally lead him to do, I think that's accurate. I don't think that's a misrepresentation of the situation. Isn't that why everybody's kind of nervous more than anything, Donnie? Like, I think you put up with that if you think the guy's a great player still. But at his best, I think he's a fringe top 10 guy. You know, his best games look about like that. The absolute best ones that he might give you twice a year, yeah, they look like a top five player, but there's a bunch that look like quarterback QB 23 in the league. where he just looks like he's disinterested or doesn't want to like deal with the physical punishment that occasionally comes with the position, all that. And no matter what he says about being such a huge fan of Mike Tomlin, it's real easy to be a fan of somebody when you're not in there with them every day seeing how it's run. Different ball game when you're up close and personal to it. And different ball game for Rodgers when he decides, okay, now that I've signed here, I'm going to put my stamp on this place. Roy is on the fan. Hello, Roy.
Chris, I enjoyed listening to you for a long time now. I just wanted to say this could be a blessing in disguise for people like you and I, because it'll finally show people just what Mike Tomlin is, and they need to get rid of him. And I think if he'll fall on his face, that's exactly what's going to happen.
See, the problem, Roy, is I've thought about this. Like, maybe it would help them in a sense for that reason. It would just be such a jarringly bad season. The problem is I think you'd get more of the same. I think they would drag themselves to 9-8 or 10-7, and that's just never going to get on the owner's radar as a problem. It just won't.
Well, I honestly think that he couldn't last the whole year, and then we'll have Mason Rudolph at quarterback.
Well, then Mason will do the same thing. He'll ride to the rescue, Don. Mason will win four games in a row to rescue a 5-8 team, drag them to 9-8. He'll get them to a playoff game. They'll get beat 31-20. And then Mason will be told that he is not, in fact, going to be the starter in 2026. PM team, time for a little hockey talk. First, I'll tell you Mike's Beer Bar's fan beer of the month is Hey Honey from Two Frays Brewing, benefiting Young Adult Survivors United. We love Mike's. We love beer. I was going to say Pony is more of a Scotch man, but he'll get down with the beer. He's a dark beer and Scotch guy. I feel the need on a day like today. I have bemoaned the likelihood of Aaron Rodgers, who I think is washed or close to washed, past his prime, eventually joining the Steelers. And by eventually, I mean it could take, what, 2 months, Donnie? This is kind of the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. If he had as much time to throw a pass on a given play as he has time to make these decisions, he'd have he'd be the MVP. He'd have like 6 days to throw every pass. That would be a record. As much as I have bemoaned that, I do feel like I've got to give a shout out to a beacon in the darkness that is Pittsburgh sports, to a man who just keeps on keeping on. That's all he knows how to do. It's this guy.
Pass kept in by Grizzly. He'll float it in front. They score!
Josh gets off the call there, Sportsnet Pittsburgh. That was part of the Penguins' win over the Blue Jackets on Friday night. Crosby, his 25th goal of the season. That is now the 15th time, Donnie, that he has hit 25 goals. When he plays at least 70 games in a season, he gets there every time. In fact, if he plays more than 60 games in a season, he gets there every time. One time, he had 32 goals in 41 games, which is a season cut short by the Steckel and Hedman hits. He is also now, courtesy of that game and then two assists yesterday in the loss to the Panthers, at 78 points for the year. When he gets to 80, and I think I can safely say when at this point, because he's playing ridiculous hockey. He, in fact, I don't know if you knew this, coming out of the Four Nations, he has the most points in the NHL since the break. He is the best in the NHL right now in 5-on-5 points for the whole year. He's 8 goals, 12 assists, 20 points since the Four Nations break. As Josh Yoey tweeted when he put this out there, he's also not quite 100% healthy, yet the dude is 2 points away from breaking Gretzky's record and putting up his 20th consecutive point-per-game season. At some point, you say something enough about somebody that it becomes rote and passe, and like, yes, everybody gets it now. He's just so damn good. And to watch it up close is to really appreciate it, too. Because you see the guy in the arena. Like, I had to watch the kids, Donnie, and then I was out Friday, and we didn't have anybody who could take over until like the evening. So we got to sneak out to the game. Me and Al did with some family members. We were in good seats and see the guy up close. He still looks just overwhelmingly like the best player on the ice. And he'll be 38 soon enough. And there's no appreciable drop off. Like You'd have to argue this is probably one of his best seasons when you consider all factors. How old he is, the fact that he's got an actual real chance to get to 90 points again in less than a full season's worth of games, at almost 38 years old, for a team that doesn't have anywhere near its classic depth offensively, so teams can key on him more easily. And he just keeps just churning out ridiculous game after ridiculous game. Like, I kind of caution myself because it's the Penguins, so knowing them, they'll somehow get the golden goose to lay another egg. But to go from Lemieux and say, oh, son, you better appreciate this while you have it. You'll never see something like this again. To then getting like the next best thing in Crosby and then saying, well, you'll never see this again. They probably will, but it's wild to watch it in real time, man.
It is going to be tough to hit three in a row, as wild as it was for them to go two in a row from Lemieux to Crosby. The funny thing, too, is that last year at this exact time, we were saying this, pretty much the same thing, just different records being broken, but we were still saying that given the circumstances of the season, one of the finest pieces of work from Sidney Crosby in the 23-24 season. Now we're in the 24-25 season, and we're saying the same thing because the consistency is just on another level.
So,
and you're right. Like I went to one of the only games I've attended all season last week. Had better seats than I've had 95% of the time I've ever gone through the doors at that arena. And Crosby still, it's clear, he is very often the best player on the ice.
It pops more if you get closer and you can just see how guys are skating. It's a little. I love sitting up high and being able to see the whole play truly develop from that angle. But yeah, when you're up close, it's just it's crazy, crazy that a guy that age looks that good compared to everybody else. I want him to play like I think five more years would definitely do it. Probably less, actually. Probably could do it in four. Let's be honest. I want to see him get to 2,000 points. I think that's the one I'm really jonesing to see him hit.
That's a question, too, that people will ask a lot anytime you get on a Penguins conversation now is how long do you think Sidney Crosby will play? And since we don't really know what is going on in his mind, the man is very to himself, we question, well, is he going to give it up once he starts to see his play deteriorate, or is he going to play a little bit longer? Maybe we see a little bit of a slip. It all depends on what he wants. You know, he could play.
Well, first he has to actually suffer like a slip in play for us to even really. It's like almost irresponsible to be having that conversation, which is, I think, what you're kind of getting at too.
Right.
Like,
but like he could play one or two more seasons. He could see the play dip and say, you know what? I don't want to have people see me go out on such
like
a low
chump.
Note. Or the guy could play until he's 45, which I think he truly could do.
The fact that he is leading the league in 5-on-5 points like bends my brain. It just doesn't, it should not make sense that that is possible. It doesn't make sense that that's possible. He was not the star Friday night, by the way. This gentleman was.
It's a shot from Imama. He scores! Go, Loco, for Boco! He's got his first in Pittsburgh black and gold!
Second total in the NHL, Boco Imama. Josh Getzoff again on the call in Sportsnet Pittsburgh right there. He got into a fight. He was one assist shy of the Gordie Howe hat trick. The fight was, as fights go, not the greatest thing. He probably took a little worse than he got, but that was because he could not get one hand free to throw some true haymakers. But it is funny, Donnie. I'm not a huge proponent of fighting by any stretch, and it did kind of come out of nowhere a little bit in the flow of the game. Nothing gets an arena hype like that, man. People just, they're ready for a prize fight. And then you love to see this. You see the third star, you see the second star, and you're like, damn, I hope they really make the right call. He skates out as the first star, and that place just erupted, Donnie, let me tell you. That place went ballistic when he was the first star.
There's a reason why I don't think they ever take fighting out of the game, and I know that was a big topic of conversation when the Four Nations was taking place. The fights that started the first U.S.-Canada game during that tournament. But you just said it. When they happen, it is electrifying. It is maybe, you know, if the home team doesn't do anything on a particular night, maybe the most exciting thing that people will see. Still, for me, one of the most memorable moments I have going to a Penguins game was a goalie fight when Brent Johnson just KO'd Rick DiPietro.
Broke his jaw. Broke his jaw, man. I will also give him credit. Usually, I feel like this actually happens when a guy barely scores goals, and he's an energy guy. They all like talked about how much they love him in that dressing room after the game. It was obvious that he's very popular with his teammates because he's a tough guy. I feel like when tough guys who rarely, if ever, score get a goal, I actually feel like it's almost always a ridiculously nice shot, dude. And his goal was that. It was like a goal scorer's snipe from a deadly part of the ice. And it was like a very out-of-nowhere moment because, you know, Boko Imama's on the ice. You don't expect him to pick a corner and rifle one. But, the people loved it, man. The energy was good. The only problem is they shouldn't be winning these games or even getting points. It's not going to matter because they'd have to pretty much win out. But, like, what are you doing? Stop winning. Why are you playing your best hockey? I found myself muttering that. Like, why are you doing this right now? Why do you look like a completely different team?